Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, hello. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the generation gap. Those watching us online, through Facebook, you can send us questions live, and we'll try to at least ask some of your questions. Yael, please. The generation gap was always there. But we see that because the pace of changes in the world is growing and life is changing all the time, the gap is broadening too. The main problem about the generation gap is communication. Each was born into a different reality, and this reality brings a different culture, different language, different worldview with it. Life seems different. And what happens in practice is that there are communication problems, misunderstandings between two people from different generations. And this is something that exists in all fields in life. In family life, the gap exists in all fields. Family life, workplaces, in every place where two people from different generations want to communicate. Today, life's more technological, fast, global, sophisticated. There are many options, possibilities that the previous generation, or let's take a family where the parent doesn't understand that they exist, that their child is born into a completely different reality. The world of work, there are completely different options. The way you conduct yourself at work is completely different. The period of time that you are at some place of work, the way you get to know people, it's through the internet, you raise children differently, you court differently. Reality is completely different. And in this entire reality, we do want to have good relations and good communication between people. And this is what we'd like to talk to you about today. So the first question would be, we tend to think that it's a technological gap. And the question is, what is the main barrier? The gap between the generations is the barrier. This is what's called barrier, that one generation is blocked toward the other. And I'm not talking about language, level of intelligence. I'm simply talking about the way of thinking, perception, expression, understanding of each other is completely, completely unsuitable. It's like a plug and a socket that, you know, they can't communicate. And what is the main mistake that the older generation makes toward the younger generation when they do try to communicate between two completely different programs? Right? And you can't understand. But there's just one thing. Love. Love can help us connect, clothe in the other person in order to cause good to the other person and adjust myself, adapt myself to the other person. What is there about love that can bridge so many gaps? It leaves these gaps, understanding that it is impossible to reach a true understanding. I will never be able to clothe in the young generation, and I have no ability to understand them, feel them, make something of myself or some kind of adapter between the generations, but just one thing. Love covers all gaps. What kind of connection do they need to create between them so that love will be able to cover everything? As much as possible, to do good according what to the other generation understands that is good. What will each give the other? What the other wants? What will the grown-up give the young, and the young will give to the grown-ups? If they have what to give, if they have the desire to give, then they will try to learn what's good for the younger and try and bring it to the younger generation to the measure to which the younger wants it. Today, the main problem is that the young generation sees adults as irrelevant. For sure. It's true. It's correct. I'm a father and grandfather, and I feel it, sure. And the feeling is that older generation, that they don't want anything from us. What can they? Rabash, my teacher, a great Kabbalist that of recent generations, he used to say, the young generation demands of us two things. Open your pocket and shut your mouth. Because to that measure, we don't understand them. We can give them what they want, and not to express any opinion of ours. That's it. This is actually what can be done. But, you know, he says this as, you know, kind of half a joke. But if we really want to reach connection with the other generation, it is only by learning what do they need, what do they want, what do they like, and this is what I try to give them. A question online from a viewer that says, what kind of love is that? Are we familiar with the love that you're talking about? Or is it something new? No. I'm talking in general, even about ordinary love of parents to our children and just people. If we want for the other person to understand us, we need to love them. You're saying that even though that we grew up in two different perceptions, we're two different creatures to a large extent, completely, says Dr. Lightman. Despite that, I have to put aside my opinion, what I think about how the world is. What do you need it all for? What do you need to take it out of grandma's box for? She doesn't need to take it out. These are her opinions and thoughts. That means to bring it out because she wants to present it to the younger generation. So she can separate between her world views and what she expresses toward the younger generation. Yeah? Why does she have the desire to open this box that she has from childhood, from adulthood, from teenage years, wanting to present it to the younger generation? They don't need it. It disgusts them. What do I leave in the box, and what do I take out and use so that there will be a connection and love? Besides what the younger generation wants, everything else you leave in your box. So to practically understand, it means that I'm supposed to listen to what they want without being judgmental, without your own participation in it, right? And even though that many times it contradicts my worldviews, that's not important. So I listen to what the younger generation wants, and I'm trying to give them what they want and ask for without criticism. Okay, so the main word is criticism here. Okay. What does it mean without criticism? I am not going to criticize them. Are they thinking correctly or not, even to the measure to which it might harm them or not? Even to the measure to which it might harm them or not, I don't judge that. I think so. It also won't help. It won't help. Even though that you can limit them in doing something dangerous and they'll do what you're saying, what you're demanding, begging, and they'll do it, they will not remember it to your favor. One of the examples we've collected from the public spoke of courtesy gaps in a family when a parent grasps what the child says as disregard, disrespect, as offensive, and for the child, this is the language he speaks. Yeah, that's clear to me. Or, for example, their friends come to visit, and, you know, in my generation, when someone comes in, you say hello, you respect everyone, and then you go in. Today, no. Today, they come up, they ask, where's, I don't know, Jonathan? Or they simply open the door or knock, open the door, and go in. No hello to anyone. Now, parents see this as an insult. How do you deal with the situation? Swallow it quietly. Swallow it quietly. Otherwise, they'll talk about Jonathan's parents. They'll say such things that you won't want to hear it. You'll be ashamed that there are dinosaurs living in his apartment. Right. Sometimes that's the feeling, that it's like a dinosaur talking to some, I don't know, innovative creature. So you're saying not to educate. What are you talking about? Educate. What words are you using here? God. I don't know. It's necessary to build some village for these elders, for them to end their life there quietly and not stand in the way of the young. A question from a viewer. Why is that so? The circle of life is supposed to include all generations, but if we won't share from our experience to the next generation, why did nature make it that way? What do we have to give each other? Are we not supposed to learn from each other? When I was young, then we were taught that the gap between generations is 25 years. It shrinks since then. Today it's 10, 15 years, tops. Right? Right. Not even 15. So, if that's so, and it does not depend on us, but we see that as coming from nature, we need to accept it and to try to somehow be that we ourselves will change too. We need to catch up with the pace. Why did nature, to begin with, create gaps between generations? How otherwise could there be advancement? Every generation and their needs. It even says, in all the ancient writings, there are such things that our times from 2,000, 3,000 years ago, it is already written that our times, are unfortunately, are not like it used to be. That's written 3,000 years ago. Children don't want to listen to their parents. So you're saying that that's natural and we need to accept it. And still, what life wisdom does the previous generation need to pass on to the next generation? They won't learn from the older generation anyway. They won't. They will learn only from their life. Therefore, we need, without talking, without opening our mouth, to build such an environment that they will get from the environment the morals that we want to pass on to them through words, but that we can't, that we stop ourselves from doing. They need to learn it from life itself. What you said is very powerful. That's strong. I mean, we need to build an environment in which they will that will educate them like a womb, and they absorb it naturally without us educating them, preaching them, or nothing of the kind. Right? And if we don't build it, but we're actually being lazy about it, and we think that through our words, you know, with pride, with different, I don't know, caprices, we can pass something on to them, the effect will be the opposite. Okay, so how, from what you just said, how do I give my child an example? I was offended by him. He will not take an example from you. He won't. Where did you ever see something like that? It happens. But it happens from life, that nonetheless, children that grow up, they absorb it from the environment, but not through words. So this is what I want to ask about. We talked about a situation where a parent insults, where a child insults a parent, and not on purpose, but because this is simply how they are. The parent's offended. What does he need to do now? What does he need to tell himself so that he can say, okay, let's let it go? He needs to be even closer to the child. He needs to be his friend. Friendly toward him. To be a kind of friend, and yeah, that, and it gives what? That he doesn't intervene as a child, he doesn't present him, that he doesn't intervene as a parent, that doesn't present himself as a parent. So what is his role as a friend? No, it's not about connecting to them. Why do you want, nonetheless, to somehow, you know, clothe on the child, dress, you know, that's my nature as a mother. So forget about it, let it go. What then? You can be a friend.
Okay.
Ideally, what should a relationship between the generations be like above the gaps? What do you mean above the gaps? Then it's like friends, like people who understand each other, that talk freely about all these things, that don't preach to each other. But that they simply, we understand what is going on. We can talk about it, but not that it obliges us, but to just talk about it like some external problem. So you're saying to acknowledge that there's a gap, that there's a problem. Everyone's familiar with it. Everyone talks about it and knows about it. But we did not compel our children to, let's say, sum it up somehow. So what's the role of the parent in terms of education? To show love. Okay, and what does that love do? I educate them by loving them, by helping them, by doing the most that I can, most that they need, and I want for them to learn how to love, about love from it, that another generation will go by, and they will have children, my grandchildren. So this is how I would like for them to treat my grandchildren. So to teach them how to love, this is the role of the parents. Right, you can't pass more than that from generation to generation. What does it mean to teach love? Because love covers all crimes. If you go strictly, then rigidly, usually it really ruins a child's life. What does it do? It distorts him. Why? Because if it's not love, then it's not something that naturally comes from the upper to the lower, from the parent to the child. Our sages said, he who spares his rod hates his child. If you'll be too soft, then you're not doing your role as a parent either. So what's the balance between being a parent who draws the line when necessary and a parent that just shows love? What's the middle line? The middle line is that the child is afraid of losing your love. And this fear holds him and obliges him. What do I teach him? As a parent who wants to teach love, what do I teach him? About the measure to which you're concerned with his well-being, and you show it to him. And gradually from that, he learns. And whether we like it or not, through these examples, later on, we nonetheless continue in life, and we build such relations in our family. What does it build in my child? An attitude toward his family. Today, parents pamper their children endlessly. No, that's not pampering. I'm not talking about pampering. Love is not pampering. What's the difference? Love is something necessary from which you grow. If there's no love, then there's no fuel to grow, to develop. A child needs to be in a state where he is cared for. He needs to feel it. This is what he needs to get from home. What's the difference between pampering and love? There is love that builds and love that destroys. Can you understand? Can you explain the difference? It's very important. This too is something that you have to teach. Love is something that needs to be taught. I'm getting plenty of questions about this. I'll add another question if you can sum it up. Why would the child be afraid of losing the parent's love and the parent never preaches? It's not about preaching, but a child will be afraid of losing the love. Why? Because here too there's a middle line, and we need to see, we need to show the child that he might lose our love, and then he will feel how much of an orphan he could be in life. How will you pass this feeling on to him? According to his actions, deeds. Give me an example. I don't know. But if a child does something bad, so accordingly, I need to show him that even though that I don't want to, but my love toward him is changing. He himself changes the pace, the intensity level of my love toward him. It's all in his hands. To the measure to which he will behave, the better he'll behave, I love him more. The worse he'll behave, I love him less. But not that it's up to me, but it's in his hands. So there's love and there's feedback to the love, to his actions, and there's pampering, which is something different than love. So final question. The difference is that for me there's always a broad, good pipeline out of which comes love. But the faucet is in the child's hand. Right to ask you. Okay, so up until now we talked about the gaps between the generations, and at first you said every generation is blocked in relation to the other generation in terms of their thinking, perception. They don't fit, they don't suit each other. And then you said the key is there's just one thing, which is love. Love is outside of the one and outside of the other generation, but it's the connection between them, the good connection from the grown-up, the generation, the previous generation, to the younger generation. You're looking from the previous to the current generation, from the older to the younger. What about from the other perspective? I'm telling you that to the measure to which the young generation understands, appreciates, does not block the pipeline of love that comes from the previous generation, they enjoy it. What is the most unique component in the love that you're aiming for? What do we not give or pass on correctly in today's love? What needs to be added? What do we need to add? We need to learn how to love in a way that you will see the correct, proper attitude from your children to your grandchildren. And you're saying that it's something that is independent of the gap between the generations. Yeah, it depends only on the measure to which the children understand how much the parents put in everything for them. You mentioned grandchildren. A question: what is the special contribution of each chain between the generations? The contribution of the elder, the parents, and the child? Only love. Why is it that they love the grandparents more? Because from them doesn't come anything negative as if toward their grandchildren. Of course, because they're not living in the same house with us. You can say whatever you want, but the way grandparents love their grandchildren, it's not the way parents do, because mom and dad, they criticize. Mom and dad, do they need to behave like grandparents toward their children? Yeah. Simply to accept everything in a good way and just give love. And then if these relations will really work properly, then they will know how to add to that such hints, insinuations that the children will understand how good or bad it is in relation to the previous generation, older generation, and they themselves will try to adjust it. It's very subtle, you know. Of course, it's the connection between generations. Dr. Lightman, last tip till next time. Everything else according to the heart. The heart. Only according to the heart. Of course. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Good luck. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. All the best.